Good morning and welcome to the Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Kathy and Lawson. This is the best table for you to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, depending on where you are or on our Faith FM app. You can chat to us by sending a message to 0491-064-669. And today is Monday, April 29. It's 7.05 a.m. New South Wales time. And I am in the studio today with, of course, Lawson and DJ Brian at the decks.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Lawson and Brian.
Yeah, good morning, Joseph. Good to be here back in the studio after camp meeting where we were spending times in tents in the, I don't know if I would say rugged wilderness. I would say like maybe it's cleared land, you know, for camping with powered tents. So I'd say probably more like some land in some wilderness-esque regions or areas. We're spending time together. Just an amazing, spiritually uplifting time. But now we're back in the grind.
We're back in the grind. And I have a word of the day.
Okay.
You guys. The word of the day is shalom.
Oh, okay.
Now, shalom is a misunderstood word.
Okay.
Because it appears in the Bible many times, and often people translate shalom as peace. This is what you usually hear, peace. But peace is only one of the meanings of shalom. Shalom is better understood as a state of social, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. It means that you are at peace, you are in harmony with yourself, with those around you, with within your own mind, and with God, primarily. You can have shalom across nations. And you can, and when people were asking, how are you doing? They're asking, how is your shalom? So when we look into shalom like that, what is sin? Sin is when one of these areas is disturbed. This is when you're losing your shalom. And in today's show, we're going to be talking about Taylor Swift. We're going to be talking about a scandal at a major public gender clinic in Newcastle. We're going to have an interview with Justin Lawman about the current state of politics. And a Bible study will be on faith against all odds. How to have that. You cannot miss today's show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
It is time for the quiz of the day. Quiz number one. Lawson, what is quiz number one that you really, really want to ask everyone out in the streets?
Hey, here is the first quiz question. Here we go. The book of Revelation describes the second death as, is it A, the trumpet sounding and Jesus returning, B, all the saints being persecuted, C, death and hell being cast into the lake of fire, or D, when the book of life is opened? 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. If you do, you will go into the draw to win an amazing prize. I have before me the Bible Study Companion Set for Conflict of the Ages. This is a box set. These are all these books that are beautifully printed. The Conflict of the Ages is a series by Ellen White that goes from basically before creation to after the second coming. It's a commentary on what the Bible says and what on Christian history, on all kinds of amazing things. And I would say as well, and I mentioned this last week, that these books had a huge hand in changing my life, you know, and particularly, and I, oh man, just opening the first chapter of Patriarchs and Prophets and reading it, so many of the questions that people have towards God and Christianity,
they get answered in the first chapter.
In the keep reading, and it's giving such vivid life to, okay, what happened in these stories? What happened to these people, these biblical figures, and how did God use that, and how does it all fit together? These books are just absolutely fantastic. Again, we want to give them to you like for free. But you just have to win the draw.
The name of chapter one is Why Was Sin Permitted? And this is one of the big questions that people have. Why does a good God allow evil to happen? And that first chapter is already, it's a masterpiece in talking about this issue.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. Again, that question was, here we go. The book of Revelation describes the second death as A, the trumpet sounding and Jesus returning, B, all the saints being persecuted, C, death and hell being cast into the lake of fire, or D, when the book of life is open. 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. Again, you can just chuck in A, B, C, or D if you know the correct answer there and go into the draw to win this box set. That would be fantastic for you, but I know that these books are quite popular, so maybe it'd be fantastic to win to give to another as well. The box set of the Bible Study Companion Set to Conflict of the Ages, this five-book masterpiece series that is beloved right across the world and has changed many lives. Again, A, B, C, or D. The trumpet sounding and Jesus returning, all the saints being persecuted, death and hell being cast into the lake of fire, or when the book of life is open. 0491-064-669. You're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning, and I've got some news to share with you.
Okay, what are the news?
I've got some news to share with you. This is actually quite a shocking revelation.
Okay.
This might get us canceled. This might take us off the airwaves because of how, you know, this is just such a revelation that has been shared with us. Did you know? This is crazy. Hold on to your seats, guys.
I'm holding my breath here, Dawson. I can't breathe, man. Come on.
Did you know that Taylor Swift does not make Christian music?
I don't know much about her, but I would suspect that would be the case.
Okay, did you know that one of the most famous pop stars in the world makes music that is both not Christian and might even denounce Christianity or Christian themes or ideology, and that she's been doing this for over a decade?
I would suspect that would be the case. Yeah, yeah, that was a big shocking statement.
So the reason I share this, and I know I'm on the good news segment, and there is some good news and some application that I want to bring out of this. But recently, I saw on like quite a popular Christian news site, there was this article being shared that, you know, there's heaps of controversy with Christians regarding Taylor Swift's new album because there's lyrics in that album that seem to be against Christianity. And, you know, she just shares about, like, she talks in her album about judgmental Christians and Christians doing this and Christians actually being hateful and whatnot. And again, her being one of the most popular secular artists in the world has already made music that very much, you know, shares themes that are against Christian principles and values and ideologies.
So she knows she's attacking people that hold the Christian faith openly.
Yeah, that's kind of been a progression, right? It's, you know, before, okay, not so much. Now it's, you know, some lines about Christians being judgmental. And I think in the lyrics that I've got in front of me, I don't want to necessarily read them, but she localizes them to like a judgmental Christian person, but then makes some great application. I think she has one song on her album. It's called Guilty as Sin, and the lyrics go, "What if I roll away the stone? They're going to crucify me anyway. What if the way is like, is this?" I don't even want to read the rest of the lyrics. Like, so she's putting herself in the position of Jesus as some kind of savior of music, who's really self-important. And I just went on to read the rest of this article, and it's like pastors and people commenting on this saying, you know, now she's making music that openly attacks Christians and whatnot. And I just read this and I think, this is not shocking. Like, this is not shocking news.
Metro progression of the direction that you're already making for the past 10 years.
And I think for some people, this is an issue because, like, And I know I have a number of Christian friends who are very into Taylor Swift. And I feel like it's, particularly among females, it's like, I would say it's maybe one in two or one in three are like a very, you know, very steep Taylor Swift fan. And that runs across whether they're Christian or not Christian. Deeply, you know, Taylor Swift, and the number's probably high among non-Christians. But yeah, there's such a huge fandom, a huge love for this artist. And now the lyrics come out like this, and it's like, oh man, like, oh, this is a crisis in my music listening.
I struggle to understand how someone who, you know, claims to be a Christian, and not saying that it cannot be understood, saying I can't understand why would you spend your time, your money, your energy in listening to songs that are that go against everything that you believe.
Okay, I have an answer for this. This is something
is
I...
Is some kind of cognitive dissonance or what?
I think that music content has is one of the most prolific pieces of media in the world today, right? And popular music artists are among some of the richest people in media and entertainment. I think music has become such an idol for people, and not just in the secular space, but in the Christian space as well. And even amongst Christian music, you know, I think that there's such a pressure to have even like, I don't think it's wrong to have high quality worship music in church, but there has just become, especially here in Australia, and I think especially in the West, just such a pressure on music being right and music being enough and music, whereas in reality, like, music has been given to us to worship and praise God, and even the most humble of songs sang from a sanctified and seeking heart is a blessing, is a pure, like, you know, noble blessing, you know, and something that, you know, is sincere and something that God finds acceptable. Now, again, what kind of music does Taylor Swift make? Is she endeavoring to make music that pleases God? And the answer is like, no, she's being openly blasphemous. But I feel as though music has become such an idol for people, like finding quality music, like, oh, music that is of such a high quality. And again, then we can talk about the subjectivity of quality, because you could say Mozart makes the most quality music out there in terms of his genre, but it's, again, not openly blaspheming God. Or you can listen to Handel, or you can listen to any of these, you know, classical artists. Whereas modern, you know, in terms of modern music, I will admit, I'll say that Taylor Swift probably has a catalog of very high quality music, and people seek that out because it's like, oh, I want to listen to high quality music that is stimulating and good. But I feel as though people need to realize that it's to the expense of their experience and relationship with God.
That's a good point, because to me, a high quality music is one that is aligned with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8.
Oh man, I got it on my screen. You read it for us. Read it for us, Joseph.
We're in the same frequency here, Lawson. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, whatever are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Yeah, I just want to say this, an application. I love that. This is a beautiful application here. Guys, we are to meditate, to think on things that are pure and noble and holy. There is good news for you. You can change your tastes. You can make a decision today to truly put your music taste in line with what you believe, in line with God and his ideals. And yeah, we pray for you that you can draw close to God in this way.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Right now, fill in the blank, Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the blank of life. Again, Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the blank of life. 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. If you do, you will go into the draw to win our amazing Conflict of the Ages box set. Life-changing books. It's been good to see quiz answers coming through. And guys, I'm sure you have an answer for this one. Quite a popular verse here. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the blank of life. 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know that answer. Again, our prize, Conflict of the Ages, the box set with the Bible study companion guides. These books are like not only fantastic for personal consumption and reading, as we've said, but for sharing with people as well. Speaking to this a little bit personally, I have in my lifetime, briefly, I have sold these books to people, and it's just such a blessing. Like, when you hand this book over to someone and they're giving money for it, you know, whenever, the reason we sell books, we sell literature and Christianity particularly, a lot of people think, oh, why don't you just give it away? It's because people value it. And when you're handing to someone a book like The Great Controversy, The Truth of Our Day and Age as Derived from the Bible, as derived from Christian history, you know, they're paying me for this, they are wanting to read it. It's like you can basically guarantee that they are going to be confronted with truth that will either change their lives or will convict them incredibly. And, you know, I've had a small experience in this. Actually, my girlfriend was a professional canvasser for a number of years. She's sold thousands of these books. She has, you know, canvassed these books to people and seen their eyes light up and saying, wow, this is the truth that I'm looking for. Guys, we are giving it away for free. The only payment is that you answer quiz questions correctly. Again, be faithful unto death and I will give you the blank of life. That's Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. 0491-064-669. You're listening to The Breakfast Show. We actually have a text in from Braden here. Do you want to read that one for us, Joseph?
Yeah, sure. Braden said, Taylor Swift's singing is at best boring and it was like listening to fingernails on a chalkboard. Her lyrics are both on creative and fairly lame.
Yeah, so we can see, Braden, thanks for your text. Obviously not a Taylor Swift fan. And we were just sharing, again, our opinions on the fact that she isn't Christian and doesn't make Christian music and makes music that openly mocks God. So what we wanted to ask is, who are your favorite artists that uplift your heart to Christ? Like, who are the artists that you listen to and make you feel as though, wow, like this is, I'm put in a state when I'm listening to this music where my heart is open to God's dwelling. I'll share one right now. There is an artist, a singer-songwriter who makes, you know, like Christian, you know, guitar singer-songwriter music. Her name is Jill Paquet Dizwan. She's an incredibly small artist, but she has a few scripture songs from the Psalms, particularly a song called Psalm 116. When I listen to that song, I'm just about brought to tears. Like the music is so beautiful. The music is so uplifting. It's from scripture. She's quoting scripture, but just everything around it, man, it just like, it really makes me grateful for what God has done in my life. And yeah, so we would love to ask you guys, what music are you really appreciating at the moment? What music is really, which artists are really uplifting your heart to God and drawing you close to Him?
That's a great idea, Lawson. And throughout the show, we will be announcing ours as well. Brian and mine, our favorite singers and composers, so that we can share those experiences. But we would love to hear from you.
Again, 0491-064-669 is that number.
Lawson, a public gender clinic claims it has no data on how many children it is putting on hormone therapy or what their sexes were at birth.
What?
Yes. Despite taking in the vast bulk of New South Wales teenagers who want to change gender. I'm talking about Maple Leaf House in Newcastle.
Oh, okay. So we're talking local here.
We're talking local. Mm-hmm. And it says here that it received 443 new referrals in 2023 and saw 983 patients.
Wow.
That compares, so do you have an idea, with only 63 new referrals at Sydney's major children's hospital gender clinic at Westmead, where 149 were seen. We're talking about, you know, over six or seven times busier than Sydney's busiest clinic.
Wow.
Now, this service is prescribing puberty blockers that has been found to be unproven scientifically.
Yeah.
So we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, the CAS report, and the UK has already banned.
Yeah, like the entire UK.
We're not prescribing this thing anymore until we can have any further clarity on this. Not only in the UK has been banned, but in Finland and Sweden, these puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones being administered to young people have been also banned. And yet here, we're not only giving it left, front, and center, but we don't even know how much we're giving. There's no data about it, begs the question, why is there no data? Imagine if you go to a GP clinic and you're asking for your medical history and they say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't keep it here.
That's crazy. So what's the reason for this? Like, is it because they're fully bought into the idea that, oh, this person is, you know, their gender doesn't matter, like that's their own decision, and they are the gender they say.
We don't know yet. Yeah, I'm sure that it's going to be investigated. And in my mind, there's a few possibilities here. Number one possibility, sheer incompetence. But it doesn't really look like it.
Yeah.
Could it be, you know, and I wonder, could it be malicious? Could it be that, hey, we don't want you to know for whatever reason. I cannot seem to find any good reason.
Yeah.
So it needs to be investigated. We cannot jump into conclusions here, but it is very, very unusual. And I would say unprofessional that patients' records are not being kept in properly stored.
I'm really interested to see the result of this, because for any other type of clinic, whether it's cancer, whether it's podiatry, whether it's whatever, like for any other type of clinic, to do this would be such negligence and malpractice that they would get shut down or rigorously fined. Like the whole board would be sacked and like it would be crazy. So I'm really interested to see if they're able to wiggle their way out of this under the guise of, oh, hey, it's actually, you know, gender's such a personal thing and we don't discriminate based on gender or whether someone chooses their gender or whatever it may be, and that's why we don't keep this records. Like, I think it'll really reflect
a terrible excuse, though.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think they're going to get away with it. It would be a terrible, excuse, and it'd be a terrible showing for our health system here in Australia. So it'd be so interesting to see.
It would be interesting to see. So there's two things that I make out of that news. Number one, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. It says, you know, Paul is talking here about how he was traveling, how he was giving accountability of offerings that he had received from the churches in Corinth to take it to Jerusalem. And he said here, we are traveling together to guard against any criticism for the way we are handling this generous gift. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone to see that we are honorable. So it's not only enough for us to do the right thing, but God also wants us to appear to be doing the right thing before others. There's accountability. There's transparency.
Yeah.
There's not just saying, yeah, I'm just doing, you know, don't bugger me with these questions. I'm just doing it before the Lord. No. I'm actually doing this, what is right, not only before the eyes of God, but also before the eyes of man.
Yeah.
In this case, I think this is lacking. Number one. Number two thing, it's this. It appears to me, Lawson, that a lot of the narrative around young kids, you know, teenagers that are forwarded to these clinics, there's a narrative that says, look, you're discontent with your life. Okay, I have the solution for you. Just, you know, let's start a process of changing your sex. But is this going to solve the problem of gender disconformity? Is this going to solve the problem of discontentment? Well, the Bible appears to think otherwise. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, Paul is saying here, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
Yeah, I love that.
Isn't it? So could it be, and I'm just asking, even, you know, not even appealing to Christian counselors here, to Christian GPs, I'm appealing to everyone. Can we talk about contentment? Can we say, hey, before we explore life-changing, irreversible treatments, can we talk about, hey, what about trying to explore how to be content with who you are?
Yeah.
With what you have? First, just try. I'm wondering if this could be at least considered, Lawson, prior to making massive, life-changing, often irreversible decisions that affect children who are vulnerable, that affect children that cannot think through all of the implications of these decisions. So that's my appeal.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Hey, no scripture, according to 2 Peter 1, came about because of a prophet's own what? 0491-064-669. So according to 2 Peter chapter 1, no scripture came about because of a prophet's own what? What was it that didn't enable scriptures to come about from a prophet? If you know the answer there, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text. If you text that number with the correct answer, you will go into the draw to win our amazing prize for this week. We've got the Bible Study Companion Set, Conflict of the Ages, these five books which will, with Bible Study Companion guides that go throughout all of Christian history from the beginning of this world, from before creation to after the second coming, to after recreation into eternity. These books are just fantastic. They'll be a massive blessing to you. They've been a massive blessing to both of us, Joseph, myself, and Brian here in the studio, and our guest who we'll be getting onto in just a little bit, Justin Lawman. These are fantastic prizes, good for yourself, and maybe you've read these books, also fantastic for sharing as well. No scripture, according to 2 Peter 1, came about because of a prophet's own what? 0491-064-669.
And I have here with me on the phone our political commentator from Canberra, Justin Lawman. Welcome to the Breakfast Show.
Hi, Joseph. How are you, mate? How's Lawson?
Oh, mate, I'm living my best life. You know, I'm kicking goals.
I knew you'd say that, Lawson.
Yeah.
You're living your best life.
That's right.
You always are, man.
He always is, and that's the spirit. Justin, there's quite a bit happening on the headlines around the world and in Australia. We have some marches in Canberra and Sydney and otherwise across the country against violence against women. We have Trump being grilled or in these New York cases against him. Do you have anything to say about that? We have violence on campus. We have Ukraine happening. There's a lot going on. Where would you even like to start?
Yeah, well, let's start with the violence against women marches. And saddest thing, the numbers of women here in Australia who have been murdered this year, it's horrific.
Wow.
And people are rightly rising up and making it an issue, and the cabinet's going to meet today. I just wanted to put my perspective in. As working as a pastor, some things you observe over the years.
Yeah.
Being emotionally sober is a really important thing to teach someone and to practice yourself. You know, the Bible says to be sober and be vigilant with your adversary, the devil. You can be all of this stuff against women. These people started in loving relationships and they end up in such violent, terrible situations. Primarily men are doing this, and it's fueled by emotion. And I've got to add, this is the real bit I want to get to. Emotion is fueled by alcohol and drugs.
Mm.
And so often in these cases, because they're talking about how they're going to fix it, I'm not hearing a lot of solutions being offered other than hold your friends accountable, and all that's good and true. But when you combine an emotional breakup and alcohol and drugs, you get these sort of things.
That is true.
And I'm generalizing. Every situation is different. But I just want to put that out there for the listening audience. Fueling this are emotions. People can't control them. But if you add into that alcohol and drugs, it's a really toxic combination. Really toxic. So anyway.
That is very true, Justin. You know, and I once talking to a police officer and I asking, hey, you know, what would you like in the world to change that would make your life easier as a police officer? And he said, ban, you know, tell people to stop drinking alcohol and using drugs, and 90% of my calls will disappear.
Yeah, that's right. And these, you could trace back into what's going on in these situations. You'll find that that's, while it's not always the case, it's often the case. Let's talk about Trump in court.
All right. So what's happening there?
Man, look, fundamentally, elections should be determined by voters, not by courts. And what's happening, because it's very confusing for the average Joe. I'm finding it hard to get my head around it myself, but
yes,
what's going on in the court case brought by Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor in the New York State there, is they've brought Trump up on charges for what are effectively a misdemeanor. Now, a misdemeanor is not something you can go to jail for, and it's the way... It's all over the payments made to Stormy Daniels, to what we'd call hush money, which is not illegal.
It's not illegal.
But whether no, you can do that, no problems at all. Mm-hmm. People do it all the time. We call it a, you know, put non-disclosure agreements and things in settlements all the time. That's not unusual and it's not illegal. What they're trying to say is the way it was recorded by the accountants, bookkeeping, whether this should have been recorded as a campaign contribution, that's a misdemeanor.
Mm.
And you can't go to jail for that. But what they've done, this shows you how desperate they are to destroy Trump.
Yes.
They've added to that to say, well, it's a felony. A felony in America means you go to prison for a felony.
Mm.
It's a felony to interfere with an election. So they're trying to say that the payments were election interference, and they're going back to the 2016 election. And I've probably simplified it too much, but that's my basic understanding. What this effectively does.
Uh-huh.
What this effectively does, because this will be overturned on appeal. Like, seriously, this is not.
I'm going to go anywhere.
It will tie. Well, they could convict him because it's a fairly set up that way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to tie him up for 8 weeks in court. Best part of 8 weeks. So he's got to sit in court every day. He's not out campaigning, and that's what you call election interference. That's
right. So, you're causing an election interference, and then you're accusing someone else for causing election interference a long, long time ago for something that was not illegal. But you know, Justin, I don't know if this is your impression. My impression is the more they try to beat up Trump on these, you know, things, the greater that he actually look into the eyes of the voters. Do you have that same impression? The stronger he gets.
He did this the first time in 2016. The media just went off on him, you know, in all sorts of ways. All that does is give him free advertising.
Yeah,
so
free advertising.
People are seeing this and they're saying, look, this isn't really legit or fair that your opposition is, you know, charged with things by the sitting government. We wouldn't do that in Australia. I hope we wouldn't. And whether you support or like Trump or hate Trump, the principle is, you know, let the elections be decided by the voters. So people are sick of it. Biden is deteriorating. He's just not home.
Yes.
He's fallen to pieces. It's sad to see it, but I watched an interview with the Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks, who are very anti-Trump, and he's just saying Trump's going to win in a landslide because Biden is a basket case. Now, he's a Democrat big time. For him to come out and say that strongly, that gives you an indication when the Young Turks are saying Biden's done. They're in serious trouble, and their only hope are these court cases, which I think are actually going to hurt their cause. It's going to help Trump.
Yes.
The other thing that's going on in America right now that people may be noticing on the news are these violent protests happening on university campuses.
Yeah, they even got something in Sydney here now. Even there's a Sydney camp out reflecting and inspired by these movements. So what's going on there, Justin?
Yeah, well, the big one in America has been Columbia University, which is an elite, very expensive elite university. A lot of the faculty have been really identified, and now they're actually being pursued as holding to Marxist ideology, which means Karl Marx, the father of communism, basically. They have teamed up that side of the political spectrum with the anti-Israel movement because of the things going on in Gaza and the horrific stuff that's going on there in that war. That's caused the far left to join up with the Islamic protesters, which is a really interesting combination. And this has acted out very violently in some circumstances, not always, but in some of the circumstances, there's been a lot of violence to the point they've had to stop graduations, that you just get your stuff online, that it's too risky. A number of the university professors are Jewish, and there's Jewish students, and they've been targeted, called Zionists. Zion, of course, being Israel, Jerusalem, and they want to establish the Israel state. They call you a Zionist.
Mm.
This is getting messy. And again, this works against Joe Biden, because the Democratic Party, who is from that socialist side of politics, was supported by that side. But now that they're supporting Israel, that split the party, and it split the party badly from the Jewish support that they've received in America, and now the far left support. And I don't know what's going to happen in this upcoming election, but this is going to impact it severely.
Yeah, I have a good friend who is going to like a quite a prestigious, it's like an art college in Massachusetts, and she is a secular Jew, like Democrat, super left wing, secular Jew, and she has been like I text her every couple of, 3 weeks or so, and because she'll just be sharing with me stories of stuff that she's going through as a college student in the US, and fearing for her, and she sends me messages like privately saying like Hamas are terrorists, like they attack. Yes, okay, Israel is doing the same thing. I'm not a Zionist, but she's so perplexed by her students who are her friends, like they're all their reactions to become so anti-Jewish. And then as well, she's feeling like, I can't even share, as a Jewish person living in the States who's not a Zionist, I can't even just share my opinion on this, and without being feared, like without the fear of being publicly persecuted. And she's like, I feel unsafe. Like, I feel unsafe going to class. I feel unsafe, sharing about my ethnicity or who I am. I don't, like, she would wear, just like a Star of David necklace. She's like, I can't even wear it anymore. I just feel unsafe. I feel like, physically and socially, I feel like a vilified, I feel like a pariah. And she's really struggling, my friend. And there could just be so many Jewish students who aren't Zionists, who like my friend, yeah, is an atheist, like secular,
secular Jewish,
yet struggling so much with this persecution that's coming on these campuses, and that's being supported by faculty as well. Which this is where she feels so disenfranchised, because I'm like, I can't talk to my teachers about this. I can't talk to student administration about this. I'm just stuck.
And here's the thing. Two things are going on. Well, Texas, they jailed some faculty. They've let them out again because America is not sort of excited about communism from McCarthy and all those things that went on. So that's underlying all this too, but the big donors to these universities are the former alumni. It's Jewish
families.
It's Jewish families. Mm. And now they're saying, well, we're not giving you any more money. So the universities have got themselves in such a jam, because they've got a bet each way here, and they've turned on each other. So it's tragic, and to see the way it's working out. And the Jewish people are always persecuted.
Yes.
Before bad events.
Mm.
And very interesting that this just bang comes out of that. I want to say something. Have I got any more time?
Well, we have 20 seconds, unfortunately.
Ukraine.
Yes.
Australia's sending $100 million worth of arms and aid. And why doesn't someone say, let's negotiate a peace?
Yeah.
Why doesn't the government say, okay, we're not sending arms, we're sending a negotiator, and we want to stop people being killed?
Yeah.
These are all, these are cousins, Ukraine and Russia. Yeah. This is silly. It should end.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Good point. Justin Lohmann from Canberra, talking all things politics in these
effervescent world that we are in. Thank you so much, Justin, for your time and for your opinions. We're looking forward to have you again next week with us.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.